And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Tuesday night, it's 7 p.m. on the left coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. And I'm so excited. My guest tonight is my good buddy, Scott Jones. If you don't know, and I think most of you do, but just in case, N. Scott Jones has accrued 25 years of experience in business, politics, and media. He was the host of the very popular Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Media, and prior to that at a different media. He was one of three co-hosts, and I was one of the others, of the long-running Gang of 405 on the 405 Media from Los Angeles. So, Scott Jones, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tammy, I'm so happy to be with you. You know, I hope this is kind of like riding a bicycle. You know, I'll probably fall off into a hedge. But, hey, I've been away, and I'm so happy to be on and really grateful that you invited me.
Oh, I wanted to get you back on. You knew that, and this was just the perfect time to do so. Now, let's get people caught up with you a little bit. You ended your long-running show, Pissed Off Politically Speaking, after how many years was it on?
5 years on the radio.
5 years. Now, what in the world are you doing with your spare time?
Well, I've just, just wanted to step back a little bit, and I had a conversation with a good friend, and I think you've been on with me when we interviewed her, Cheryl Atkinson.
Yes.
When I ended the show, she wrote me a very, very nice note about, you know, quote unquote, needing to step away. And, you know, she's kind of stepped away from politics. She does the more in-depth journalism and all that. But, you know, Tammy, I started defending in 2012. I started on terrestrial radio defending Mitt Romney. And, you know, after 5 years of apologizing or defending being a conservative and a Republican, it can just get to you. And I know we're going to get into some of the subjects here on the show today, but I just took a step away. I don't want to bore you, but I mean, I've been working on my antiques business, and I've been calling a few antiques auctions, which I have a auctioneer's license, and been focusing on that, and my grandkids, and they're all coming up from Houston to Dallas for the first time in 3 years. We're all going to be together with my mother. We'll have five generations here for Christmas.
Wow.
And I'm cooking, and I'm cooking for 22 people.
Yes. I've heard, what's the recipe, or what's the menu?
Well, we're doing a Italian Christmas this year. Rob Mosbacher, who was Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Rob Mosbacher Jr., has a family recipe for spaghetti and meatballs, and I'm doing bruschetta, fried ravioli, spaghetti and meatballs, Italian cream cake, and all kinds of stuff, and it's going to be an Italian Christmas this year.
Oh, how fun. I love mixing it up like that. Well, I figure since you haven't been doing the show and you've just been tending to antiques and grandkids and everything else, that you probably have a little bit saved up in you of comments and ideas about what's going on. I want to kick it off with something that I was so excited about this last week, and that was President Trump's proclamation of Jerusalem as the recognized capital of Israel. Something interesting, before I get your thoughts, my pastor spoke about this on Sunday, and my pastor is very forthright. We're going through the Old Testament. We're in Chronicles, and a big theme of Chronicles in the Old Testament is Jerusalem. So he got into this whole thing, and he's been to Israel a number of times. He has a lot of friends in Israel, so he gives great tours, and he gets great tours. He gets to go places a lot of people don't. But one thing that he remarked on that I didn't know about Scott, was that when they're there and they've been to the government offices in Tel Aviv, the interesting thing is, because he knows people that know people, those folks in Tel Aviv, if they have a meeting with officials in Israel, they get up, they get into all their motor vehicles, and they drive down to Jerusalem, have the meetings, then drive back to Tel Aviv. That's the way it works on a weekly basis. It's ridiculous. These embassies are all in Tel Aviv, but the literal on-the-ground capital of Israel is Jerusalem.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, Tammy, the whole designation thing is kind of semantical, as you describe, because, I mean, even I did not know the level at which diplomatic business is conducted in Jerusalem. And it's literally, as I understand it, there's a U.S. building in Jerusalem that it's simply a matter of changing the sign on the door. So from that standpoint, it's almost semantical.
Yes.
But I see the Jerusalem decision, Tammy, and I don't want to jump the shark on your agenda for the radio show here, but
go for it.
Well, I just see this as another example of the political establishment and the geopolitical establishment being appalled at having an elected president of the United States doing exactly what he promised he would do.
It's amazing.
And we're going to get in. I know we're going to get into the media part of it and this whole FBI investigation and all of it. But, you know, in preparing for the show, I was thinking about this, and I'm interested in your take. You know, in a lot of respects, I feel like that we're living through what could be kind of a seminal moment in our nation's history from this standpoint. You know, everybody talks about Trump dividing America and this Jerusalem embassy thing and dividing the nations that we do business with, allies and foes and all of this. You think about it, and I'm thinking geopolitically here. We spent 8 years plus a year of campaigning of Barack Obama systematically dissembling both the social, economic, and even the moral values that this country was built upon and dividing us. We spent 8 years being told if we disagreed on policy, we were racist. If we looked at somebody wrong, we were misogynist. And it culminated in a self-entitled, crooked, and corrupt candidate for the Democrats up against Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton saying that we were all deplorables. And so the seminal moment for me, Tammy, is American populace woke up. Washington was running us. It was of Washington, by Washington, and for Washington that our government existed. And I think Trump came along and wrecked the punch bowl and said, no, the government works for us. He's not part of the club. He never has been part of the club. And what we're seeing now, I think, is almost an institutionalized coup d'etat between entrenched bureaucrats, holdovers, and all of that, and the media establishment trying to effect a coup d'etat here. But I'll bring it back to Jerusalem. You know, they're not used to having politicians do exactly what they said they were going to do, and this man is doing it. Is he perfect? No. Is he boorish? Yes. But you know what? He's speaking to a part of America that Washington feared would wake up and shove back, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. Now, the question that remains is, well, decisions like Jerusalem and all of that, he's never going to get credit for it, but something's going to have to give, and it's either going to be we deplorables and the broader America running our government and the government serving us, or are we going to revert back to name-calling and marginalizing and labeling people and dividing people to the point where the government calls the shots? And I think that's where we are right now.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. This whole Jerusalem thing was a really big deal to me because of my faith and so forth.
Sure.
But it also, it's interesting because we have the 95 Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act, and it was overwhelmingly voted for in the Senate 93-5 and the House 374-37.
By some of the same people that are bitching about it right now, Tammy.
Exactly. So it was Senate Bill 1322. And so since then, every 6 months, a president has to sign a waiver saying that we will keep the embassy in Tel Aviv until we think we can politically, with national security interests at heart and so forth, move the embassy. So that's what's been happening since 95. Presidents have been signing this waiver on the six-month basis. Well, Trump gets in there, and as you said, he campaigned and said, no, I'm going to say that Jerusalem's the capital. We're going to move our embassy there, and I'll do it as soon as possible. I heard from inside sources inside the administration that he did want to do it immediately as soon as he was sworn in, but was told because of a few different political and hot spots in the region and so forth, that would be unwise to do immediately. So,
but that's been the argument for Clinton, for George W. Yes. Bush, and for Obama, and all of that. There's always, you know, the world is full of people that can make excuses of why things can't be done, and there are those handfuls that figure out a way to get it done, and that is just not the Washington way. And Trump's breaking the mold there, and people don't like it. But think about it, Tammy. I mean, how refreshing is it to have a president who actually does what he says he's going to do?
I know, it's so novel, and it, just so many amazing things about this. Think about it. If you look at Jerusalem, and another thing about that, the Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act, which is Senate Bill 1322, it said that it would be a united Jerusalem. It would not be a divided Jerusalem. And when we think about
that's an important point, too.
It is. Americans don't all understand the history of Israel, the history of that tiny nation for the last 3,000 years, but especially since 1948 on. It's pretty miraculous the way this nation is sprung up, where it wasn't there before, after the diaspora, where the Jews were scattered all over the earth. But you look at what's happened here. People say, well, they ought to give up more land. Well, they've already given up land for peace. It never worked. And one of the efforts towards that was Moshe Dayan giving the Temple Mount back to the Muslims so that they could have the Temple Mount, which was the Jewish holy site. And this is another thing. People hear this thing, Jerusalem is an Islamic holy site. Wait a minute. It wasn't a Islamic holy site till the 20th century. Prior to that, it was Medina and Mecca were the holy sites. They tacked on Jerusalem as a political thingy. It's not mentioned in the Quran nowhere. And here's another thing, back to my pastor. When he was there last fall on a trip with 85 of my friends, the year before when he was on that trip, the 2015 trip, they went up to the Temple Mount and somebody mentioned something about Jesus just in passing. They didn't mention it in a loud voice or anything, but they were on the Temple Mount. Immediately, they were surrounded by armed guards with AKs screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you won't talk about that name, you won't say that name, screaming at them to not say the name of Jesus. It's not like somebody yelled Jesus and a fist went up or something. It was just softly spoken. Okay, this is what you have. So if they think that the Jews are harsh, in the Jewish democracy of Israel, you can worship as a Christian, as a Jew, as a Muslim, or you can be an atheist there, and they don't bother you. You have freedom to do that. But if you get under the caliphate or under Islamic rule, like in Iran or on the Temple Mount, there is no freedom whatsoever.
That's right. But, you know, again, from a geopolitical standpoint, 30 years of the status quo has not improved anything. So. What is there to lose? And again, there's all these list makers of why things can't be done. And Trump, with all of his flaws, and, you know, I wish he'd, you know, edit himself on Twitter like other people, although I think it got him elected, you know, so I understand his point of view on it. But, if you were hoping for the status quo, he's not your candidate. And I just think that a large portion of America, and we deplorables, have decided 30 years of the same old is enough. And, you know, I think this Jerusalem thing is just an example of a politician actually following through on a promise, and Washington doesn't know what to do with it.
That's absolutely right. We've got a lot more fun stuff to talk about. I will be back with my guest, Scott Jones. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns. I talk about them every week. They're a custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online, robarguns.com. They do a lot of things. They give your worn firearm new life. They make custom firearms that are out of this world, including, this is something, I don't know if anyone's bought it yet, but after 20 years of being an integral element of the U.S. Coast Guard Homeland Defense and enemy interdiction, the Coast Guard is retiring the Robar RC-50. If you're unaware, Robar's RC-50, it's a 25-pound bolt-action sniper-style rifle. It's chambered in 50 caliber BMG with a 29-inch barrel. They use it as an anti-material gun and even a long-range anti-personnel gun. But as a lasting memorial to this rifle, Robar has built one last commemorative RC-50 engraved with United States property, USCG, and it's up for sale. It is absolutely a keepsake. If you get it in your collection, you will be the envy of snipers and military personnel throughout the United States, let me tell you. So, if you want to give your new, your worn out firearm new life, if you want a new custom pistol, rifle, shotgun, or you want to be the lucky person that grabs the RC-50 from Robar, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov to learn more.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
the 405.
If you're just joining the show, and this is Tammy Jackson, by the way, I'm speaking with my friend Scott Jones. We're talking about a myriad of political topics. Scott, I want to talk about mainstream media. And as part of the segue between what we talked about last time, which was the whole Jerusalem announcement and what's going on with that, people going crazy, and what we're going to be talking about in this segment with mainstream media, I want to introduce an article, and I talked to you about this off air. It's by Mark Landsbaum. He writes for me over at Barbed Wire. I wooed him into, in his retirement, writing some articles, some op-eds for me occasionally. In case anybody listening is not familiar with Mark, he was a columnist for some of the biggest newspapers in the nation. He also was the head of the School of Journalism at Biola University. So he's a Christian conservative. He's a straight shooter, and he's very, very good at what he writes and analyzes things as a true journalist should be. He was also...
He's a deplorable, Tammy.
He's a deplorable, but he was a never-Trumper. And it's very, very interesting stuff. He writes in an article about Donald Trump. It's Trump when the lesser of two evils actually does great things. He says... Your complaint is that Trump hasn't done much. You've been misled by watching network TV. See the millions of lives saved in the 150 items above. Your fallback complaint is that he's not nice. Jimmy Carter was nice. Nice is irrelevant. He's chasing the rhinos out of office and making true conservatives put their votes where their campaign talk has been. Yeah, his style is rude, crude, and clumsy, to say nothing about childish. But we've tried polite, considerate, and grown up, and guess what? That's what got the country where it was a year ago. I don't care how crude and clumsy he is, as long as he continues on the trajectory he's charted. Millions of babies saved and 150 victories in 10 months. He's not my pastor. He's my mechanic. That's really well said and well put. And he says something else here where he says, I grudgingly voted for Trump, hopeful that at least he would reverse some of Obama's unconstitutional, illegal diktats and prevent Hillary's evil agenda. He's done that in spades and much more. Next time I'll enthusiastically endorse and work to see him elected, and I'll be joined by millions who will have benefited from reduced taxes, relaxed regulations, and the love of life for the unborn, to say nothing of religious liberty, should be a big win. That's some good stuff from somebody that was a never-Trumper who's been won over because Trump has done what he said he would do. And he mentions mainstream media, Scott. Let's talk about mainstream media. We've got MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. We've got Charlie Rose, Stephen Colbert. We've got a lot of people. Give just weigh in here.
Well, I think what your author friend or your writer friend touches on, I think, is probably where a large portion, and I think Trump's base is almost undefinable. Certainly it's conservatives, but there were people that never voted before and all of that. I think he does a good job of capturing in this point in time, just, you know, and I'm in rural and then metro North Texas. I think people is probably right where he just describes it. I mean, they're not bailing on Trump, and yeah, there's these momentary Twitter flares and stuff like that. But I think that the deplorable core that put him in office is probably pretty much intact and supportive of what's happening. But your author there points to some things that aren't sexy news-wise but are happening everywhere. I mean, you cannot underestimate – or should not underestimate the rollback of regulations, the freezing of new rules and regulations from the EPA to the Trade Commission to all of this that is having an impact. We've seen the GDP climb to 3% or a little over 3% for the first time in over a decade. All of these things that Trump is doing in the background that he gets zero credit for are happening all around us. And Tammy, I don't know what it's like in your part of the world or where John is at the controls in Southern California, but I think people are starting to feel it. And you see that in the consumer confidence index and some other things that the mainstream media don't want to talk about. And somebody brought up, I can't remember if it was the lady from the Federalist that's on Fox. You know, you talk about all these gaffes with the mainstream media, and they had their worst 2 weeks in the last 2 weeks with retractions and, you know, Brian Ross screwing up and making the market drop 350 points and all that. If they're really staying ethical, how come they never make mistakes in favor of Trump? All the mistakes are always to the detriment or trying to undermine Trump. I mean, Dave Weigel, he knew better than to, an hour before the event, tweet out a crowd picture before the arena ever filled up and try to pass that off as somehow of low interest when it was packed where the fire marshal wouldn't let people in. It's all these subtle things. And I've spent the last week watching people like Judy Miller and all of that saying, well, reporters are human. They make mistakes. Bullshit. There is a calculated, and it goes back to the geopolitical thing, and you can cut me off any minute because I can keep going, but...
No, I love it.
There's this geopolitical convergence of the entrenched Washington interest and the K Street lobbyists and all of that who have trying to commit a civil coup d'etat on this president, aided and abetted by this mainstream media complex that just can't stand that he's president, that he does what he says he's going to do, and they're never going to give him credit for it. I think the media is in such a crisis right now, Tammy. I don't know how it's going to break, whether their credibility is going to go to zero and some of them are going to go out of business or whatever, or whether the people are going to say enough is enough and just turn them off completely. But it is so rabidly obvious to everyday Americans like you and me, and it doesn't have anything to do with conservative versus liberal. They're supposed to be the fourth estate, and they have abdicated that in this presidency.
Oh, they sure have. And we hear from mainstream media all the time. They're just over the top. And even, as I mentioned, Stephen Colbert, so it's not just what is supposed to be, quote, hard news, end quote. So, and I put that in quotes because when you look at MSNBC and CNN, I have a hard time calling them hard news. I really do.
You mentioned Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, and they're running story after story and bringing on people that don't know shit from Shinola about psychology, giving all kinds of diagnoses about the mental stability and health of this president. And I'm sitting there watching that crap, and I don't think I'm the only one looking at them and wondering if it isn't Joe and Mika who need counseling and psychological. Seriously, it's like they live in a parallel universe.
I know. And it's hard for me to look at them anyway, because Joe Scarborough used to be a supposed conservative who was on that network to bring
hockey pucks.
Yeah. And so Morning Joe starts getting involved with Mika. Never mind that they both have spouses. The spouses are ditched. They have an affair. Now they're engaged. And suddenly they are the beacons of all that's clear and right and moral to the world. I don't think so.
Yeah, them and all 12 of their viewers, Tammy. And I'm just saying, you look at these people and they talk about we deplorables. A lot of these liberals on those networks and those that I've tuned in for the 5 minutes I can stand it, I think are unhinged.
They are absolutely unhinged.
Trump knows what he's doing, but they are unhinged in their rabid hatred of this, and it colors everything they do, and it's infected what were historically, at least moderately, trustworthy news sources to the point where people are just throwing up their hands and saying, you guys have no credibility.
Yep, yep. So I want to end this section with one more quote from Mark Lansbaum's article that I really liked about President Trump, when the lesser of two evils actually does great things. Mark writes, I understand the visceral objection to casting a ballot for a piggish big mouth. I couldn't do it until very late in the campaign, but I realized what was at stake if his opponent won. As others have written, every election is a choice between greater and lesser evils. That's guaranteed in a world populated exclusively with fallen sinners. Look back over your presidential picks in your lifetime. Which one wasn't a lesser evil? I rest my case. Ta-da.
Well, Tammy, can I bring it home for you as we end up this segment?
Yes.
That touches on kind of my view of where we are right now. And I'm hoping that though, and you know, you or nor I supported Trump in the beginning.
Right.
But the two quote evils or lesser of two evils that are at battle right now is the entrenched liberal institutional political ruling clash in Washington and we the people who elected Trump. That's the big David and Goliath that's going on right now, and I hope for our country's sake that people like you and me and others that listen to this show don't give up on him, because if we succumb to that and we succumb to the media characterization or caricature of this president, they win and we all lose.
Absolutely so. Tremendous. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Scott Jones. We'll be talking the FBI, Mueller, and much, much more. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from rentacomputer.com can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audio, visual, or office equipment rental. Rentacomputer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. So, if you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients, both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov to learn more.
One, two, three.
Toyota. Welcome back, everyone. This is Tammy Jackson on the 405media.com. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and I'm joined by my guest, who I've been talking to since the top of the hour, Scott Jones. If you're just joining the show, Scott Jones has 25 years, at least, experience in business, politics, and the media. He was the host of Pissed Off Politically Speaking for 5 years, and he's retired that, and he's doing other things now, including antiques and being an auctioneer, all kinds of cool stuff, and cooking wonderful dinners. So I'm thinking I need to plan a trip to the Dallas area and ask for a dinner. Scott, I so appreciate you being able to come on the show tonight. And I want to talk about this next topic. You wanted to talk about it. Let's talk about Robert Mueller and the FBI.
Where do you want to start? How much time
wherever
do
you,
have?
Want to, Scott.
Wherever you want to, Scott. Well, I think this thing is starting to rot from the inside out. And I have a theory here, Tammy. I'd be interested to know what you think about it. You know, what I see in all of this, and especially with the latest revelations about, shall we say, unsavory characters within both the FBI and the Justice Department that have come to light here recently, I really do think that what has happened here is, and what has been uncovered here is all of these institutionalized people, including James Comey and Rod Rosenstein or whatever his name is, who Jeff Sessions, number two, I think is up to his neck in it. Everybody was calibrating that we can cut corners and we can do certain things because Hillary Clinton's going to win the election, and she didn't. So part of the internalistics of this that are smelling like a rotting fish after 3 or 4 days is an unwinding of cutting of corners that would have been covered up had she been elected. And you can't go and investigate all of this without running into some of the corners that were cut. And some of them are pretty serious, especially this guy Orr with his connections and meetings undisclosed to his superiors with the Fusion GPS people who came up with the phony Trump dossier and all of that. A couple of career bureaucrats have gotten their hands caught in the cookie jar, and it's not pretty. The problem that I have is they've made reassignments within the agency. They fired a couple of people and this and that and the other, but that's not enough. I mean, if we, the people, cannot trust the premier law enforcement and Justice Department in the world, we got a problem. And I got to tell you, Tammy, and I'll shut up because I want to hear your reaction. I do think it's an unwinding of some corner cutting that was going on in anticipation of Hillary winning the election. But I think it's much more serious than that. I think there are some dark clandestine things coming on that could shake the foundation of trust in the FBI and our law enforcement with the regular people like you and me that could be irreparable. But I don't know who's the check and balance on them, because I'll close out with my continued frustration that we have a limp-willied attorney general in Jeff Sessions that I don't blame Trump for being pissed off that he recused himself, and I she'd pick somebody else, because while he may be doing good on border security and immigration, he is sucking it in terms of protecting this president and being able to take action against unsavory players in a domain that he's the head Fred.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. Victor Davis Hanson has an article at National Review that's very good, titled "One Mueller Investigation Coincidence Too Many." And the article begins, "Stacking the deck with anti-Trump staffers is proving to be a really bad idea. Special prosecutors, investigators, and counsels are usually a bad idea. They are admissions that constitutionally mandated institutions don't work and can be rescued only by supposed superhuman moralists who are without innate biases inherent in human nature. The record from Lawrence Walsh to Ken Starr to Patrick Fitzgerald suggests otherwise. Originally narrow mandates inevitably expand expand on the cynical theory that everyone has something embarrassing to hide. Promised short timelines and limited budgets are frequently forgotten. Prosecutors search for ever new crimes to justify the expense and public expectations of the special counsel appointment. And he goes on to talk about this and how badly it's going. And I also got some other interesting information that I sent over to you, too, that's kind of, wow, if this comes to light, I'll read just a little bit of it. The Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Justice has been leading the review of the FBI at Sessions' request. Inspector General Michael Horowitz says the OIG is very close to announcing its findings. That's what has people like Loretta Lynch and James Comey suddenly tweeting about how the FBI was a pillar of virtue while they were running the place for Obama and Hillary. The OIG was instructed to investigate James Comey's July 5, 2016 public announcement that Crooked Hillary would not be indicted for her illegal server and for potentially linking top secret classified information to foreign governments. There's just a whole lot of stuff that's all connected here, Scott, and it looks really dirty. And just the surface is this stuff where you've got people like Special Agent Peter Strozak sending anti-Trump texts to his FBI mistress.
Oh, it's more than that. He's a bad dude. He's one of the rotten fish.
Yes.
It's not about tweets. It's not about tweets. I mean, how do you get a guy like General Flynn, who has served his country for 30 years, caught up in call it a liar, whatever he copped to, he goes in and gets his head ground into the ground and his life ruined, and people like Hillary Clinton, Cheryl Mills, and Uba Abedin were all interviewed, not under oath, so they couldn't get caught in this. I mean, it is sickeningly corrupt and manifestly obvious. And you know what makes me even more sick to my stomach is you've got people now, Tammy, calling for special counsel to look at the special counsel. What the hell is wrong with Washington?
Yeah.
Why can't we find somebody honest to get this stuff sorted out? You know, we're 12 months in almost, Tammy. There is not one scintilla of proof of Trump campaign collusion with the Russians, and this guy's still running all over the place, spending millions of taxpayer dollars looking under everything. And the only thing he's come up with is two process violations for Papadopoulos and Flynn and indicting Manafort for money laundering that was 10, 12 years before Trump even thought about running for office. What are we paying for? Don't you think that if there was anything there, it would have leaked by now and we'd know about it? And it's become a clown show, but it's a dangerous clown show.
Yes, and all the while they're ignoring the fact of things that Hillary Clinton did, such as selling 20% of our strategic uranium to the Russians. There's just so much going on here.
If there were any justice, Tammy, both of those people would be under the jail by now, but it's never going to happen.
No, and
I'm okay with that. But by God, why are you crucifying the people that the people selected to go to Washington? That's what this is about.
Yep. And just one other little snippet on that special agent, Peter Strozak. He was the guy that oversaw the FBI interview of Hillary Clinton at the tail end of Comey's fake investigation of the illegal server. The interview that the FBI failed to record, which was done off the record and in which Clinton was not placed under oath. Strozak also watered down the FBI findings in the entire sham.
It stinks.
Everything about this stinks. And what I have come to the conclusion of, Scott, is that our intelligence agencies, unfortunately, have been so politicized, so weaponized politically with political appointments.
And it's scary.
It's very scary. I think they need a thorough spring cleaning from the top down. I really, really do.
But by who? And that is my frustration with Jeff Sessions on his knee-jerk recusal. Now, I've listened to some legal scholars, and I like Jonathan Turley, even though he's a Democrat. He's a straight shooter, and he knows constitutional law. My understanding is he had no choice by some obscure statute within the department rules, then resign and let somebody else get in there. But the cleaning of the house, Tammy, is the part that I don't know what the answer is going to be. We could have six more special counsels at $10 million apiece and be talking about this 6 years from now with no conclusions. This goes back to what I talked about earlier with you in the segment before last. This is a battle between the entrenched Washington interests and the outsider that you and me sent to Washington to clean up the place. And I just hope our troops don't abandon that person we sent and succumb to this crap that's going on institutionally there by these liberal entrenched interests, because it is a class.
Yep, it certainly is. And of course, while all this is going on and Mueller's doing what he's doing, mainstream media is doing their part to help the investigation, try to have some legs. And so
it's four against one, Tammy. It's four.
It really
against
is.
One. The odds are not in Trump's favor. And if we abandon him, I fear for the future of our country. I really do. That's not an overstatement on my part.
Now, I'm there with you, Scott. Let me tell you. The Tammy Jackson Show with my great guest, Scott Jones, will be back to wrap up the hour after the break. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatches website. It's found at johnbiver.com. Dispatches is an absolute treasure trove of resources to inform and equip conservatives to fight and win the information war. That's Dispatches at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov to learn more.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 with my guest, Scott Jones. If you're just joining the show, Scott Jones served 3 U.S. presidents and 2 Texas governors as a key volunteer, staff, and or government appointee, including 2 terms as the chairman of the Texas Department of Transportation, MVB, under Governors W.P. Clement and George W. Bush. He was a talk show host. He's my good friend, and having fun here with Scott Jones. Scott Jones, wrap up. What do you think can be done about the Mueller investigation? What do you think can be done about mainstream media?
You know, if I had the answers, I'd be a very wealthy man, I'm sure. Tammy, I think it goes back to what I said a couple of times earlier in the show. I think, all things being said, and I know I'm a simple person and maybe I'm being too simplistic, I do see this as a battle of the people versus the Washington entrenched interests and the political ruling class. And in that political ruling class, I include, you know, career bureaucrats like Rod Rosenstein and others. If we give up on Trump right now, as I said at the close of the last segment, I fear for the future of our country, because that means that these entrenched bureaucrats and these Washington elites win the battle. You know, the election of Donald Trump was part of the battle. And I think the battle is ongoing, and it's just a matter of what we will accept as a voting public and as a republic. Are we going to allow Washington to run us, which we had with the complicity of all the people and the media that you mentioned for 8 years, nine if you include the campaign? Are we going to do what we set out to do and make government more accountable to the people? And I'm just telling you, these powerful interests are just not liking it. And I knew it was going to be a wrecking ball, but I never perceived that the mainstream media and even some beyond the mainstream media would prostitute and set aside any and all ethics or a semblance of objectivity as the eyes and ears of the people. And I use that rolling my eyes, that they would prostitute themselves to the point to be blinded by their rank hate for everything that Trump stands for and that you and I stand for. And there's one world that is encapsulated in the New York City, Washington, D.C., Hollywood bubbles, and then there's all the rest of us out here in mainstream America. And I'm just hoping we can stick with Trump to the point where this either settles down or there's just wholesale change from top to bottom, as you indicated, in Washington. Drain the swamp was more than just a punchline. There are some people holding on to the edge of the bowl here for their dear lives, and this battle ain't over yet, Tammy, and I don't know what the ultimate outcome will be.
That's so, so true. Well, in this article that someone sent to me about the OIG investigation, it ends with this, which I think is interesting. Right after the Justice Department announced the existence of the OIG investigation, President Trump tweeted that the FBI is in tatters. This prompted Comey, former AG Holder, and 5-second acting at AG Sally Yates to begin furiously tweeting about how strong and independent the FBI is. So it looks like the swamp is getting nervous.
Well, Tammy, on that tweet, you know, people see what they want to see. I mean, even the new director that Trump appointed, Chris Wray, you know, pushed back when somebody asked that in the hearing that he was at this week. But, you know, to clarify, Trump's not talking about the rank and file FBI field agents that protect us every day. What's rotten and what's in tatters is the management and second layer of management that clearly gotten their hands caught in the cookie jar through this investigation thing and this IG report. And I, like you, hold out hope. You know, you ask for an end game. I hope somebody loses a job and instead of a demotion and gets held accountable for what are felonious acts, if they're true.
Yep. Well, I wanted to end with something a little bit of fun on a creepy subject. But in this era of all these sexual allegations, so we've got Weinstein, we've got all these people that are just looking worse and worse. Does Mike Pence and wife Karen, don't they look pretty darn good? And think about how much fun people were making of them. They were ridiculing them because Mike Pence said he will not do a private or closed door meeting with only one other woman unless his wife Karen's present, or unless it's a group of people, men and women, or you know, but not just with one woman. Scott, that everybody made fun of that, like that was a silly thing. But if Weinstein and all the others only met in closed door meetings with women, if others were present or their wife were present, we wouldn't be having these allegations right now.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was untoward, the criticism of that. And maybe that's, you know, I was kind of torn whether that is an act of self-preservation or an example of his love and respect for his wife. I have a feeling probably a combination of both, exactly. But why would that even be criticized? But that, to me, that's just another example of this bubble people versus everyday people out here in America. I mean, I think of Mika and Joe Scarborough got out of the Washington, D.C. bubble for more than 2 hours, they'd be even bigger blithering idiots when they find out how disconnected they are from everyday people like you and me. And the criticism of Mike and Karen Pence was another one of those, you know, bubbleistic echo. I think John used to use the term echo chamber kind of mentalities that are wholly disconnected from the broader public that watches their shows or whatever. And I bristled at the criticism of Mike and Karen Pence, although I thought it was a little bit extreme when I first heard it. But, you know, he may be the smartest man in Washington right now because of everything that's going on, Tammy. It's almost an act of self-preservation, whether he knew it or not.
It sure is. Hey, I've got one more snippet for you that's really interesting. Last week, I had Steve Strang on the show. He's the CEO and founder of Charisma Media, and they do Charisma Magazine. And so he's one of these charismatic Christian type people, but he's really well known in the world of publishing. He's got a lot of power, 32 plus million people that read Charisma, etc. And he's been in several meetings in DC with Trump, but he told me that years before Trump ran for president, he started watching TV where he'd see these preachers on TV and he had questions for them and he'd call them up. He'd get his people to get those preachers on the phone. Those preachers would call Steve Strang and say, "You never believed who called me this week. Donald Trump called. He had some questions about Bible verses, about what I was preaching on, etc." And so it's very interesting. People think that he does all this stuff for show, but Steve Strang had another viewpoint and he said, "There's something going on in the heart of Donald J. Trump, where he still is that brash New Yorker, but he is actually moving toward a more conservative position on almost everything in his life." And so we voted for him as our last choice, but he's ending up doing some pretty good things, Scott Jones.
What? Tammy, my final thought on it is this. You know, for all the Washington noise and all the Fox News and CNN stories and all of that about Russian corruption and collusion, I go to bed at night, and I did vote for him, as you said. I go to bed at night comfortable in knowing that I in no shape, form, or fashion think that Donald J. Trump is anti-American, would sell this country down the river, or was in any way involved in anything nefarious with what is our biggest geopolitical enemy. I just don't believe it. I think it's all politics. I think some of it is unraveling in front of our face, and some of it stinks. And somebody's going to come out, a whistleblower, or somebody is going to blow the lid off of that thing as a potential outcome, as we were discussing earlier.
But wow.
Well, Donald Trump is not the anti-American or bigot or hateful person that people have made him out to be in the mainstream media. I truly believe that. So I sleep at night. I don't know about you.
No, I feel the same way. Scott Jones, thank you for taking the time to be on. I will have you back and let you vent to your heart's content.
I loved it. And I hope you'll do that because, you know, I always love being with you, Tammy.
Ditto. Hey, thanks for listening. Ditto. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with former Special Ops Commander, U.S. Army Captain, retired Tyler Merritt, and former Israeli Master Sniper, Anti-Terrorist Unit Special Operator, Yoni Titi. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up and not be silent. Let your voice be heard because we have a country to save.
Cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang, boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Oh,
on the side.